Dear listeners, welcome to the new episode of our podcast, protok.rs. And today we have prepared something entirely different from it that you're used to. We are ready today to sail into business waters. And we'll be talking about that's on everybody's lips in past couple of years, and that's startups. So sitting across from me is Carl Jär. He's coming from the lovely country of Sweden. And he works in a company called Quinix, a very successful startup company that specializes in workforce management. Carl, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So can you tell us some basic info about Quinix and your work?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was founded in 2005 by our CEO, Erik Fjellborg. During the time when he was attending high school, and he was working extra, part-time at McDonald's. And at that point, he saw that the restaurant managers, they were spending half of their working day just calling around, getting people to fill the schedule. And he thought that he could simplify this by building a web-based portal where his colleagues could book shifts and swap shifts with each other, and also apply for leave and things like that. So he built this solution by himself during his spare time. And in a very short time, he had managed to sell the solution to a lot of McDonald's restaurants in Sweden. And after that, he sold the solution to McDonald's centrally in Denmark, and then after that to McDonald's centrally in the UK, which was a pretty big deal, and it gained some attention in the media as well. And by 2007, some additional investors had invested in his company, and that's when it started to grow into a real company, and that's when it became Quinix, pretty much. Mm. And that's when he started scaling the business. And he's in connection with the investment, the external investment, the decision was taken to build a completely new platform, workforce management platform. And that is the foundation of the platform that we are working on today, the existing generation of the platform. So it's been around since about 2007. And it's also when the company started scaling that I joined in 2008.
Well, that's pretty big when you look at it from that angle. I mean, going from a worker to have such a great idea and to pass it on and actually to for McDonald's to adopt the idea, that's great success on mm-hmm. its own. So can you explain in detail what is workforce management?
Workforce management is, at its core, it's about finding the right employee at the right time, at the right place, making sure that you as an employer within retail or restaurant, hospitality, whatever it could be, making sure that you optimize your schedule to optimize sales and so forth. Mm-hmm. That's just part of the puzzle. Within workforce management, you also have time and attendance software. So you can track the working time of your employees. Also, communication between employees and manager and employees is included there as well. And depending on the solution, it could also include task management mm-hmm. and functionality for ensuring that your employees perform the tasks that they should. And that is what workforce management tools do.
So basically, you have different modules in your application that handles different things, like shifts, like tasks, like calendar or so, right?
Exactly. So it's built up of different modules, and not all customers have all modules. So they put together the application the way that it suits them, depending on their needs. I also forgot to mention that forecasting and budgeting is also a mm-hmm. part of the puzzle, where you can import historical sales, for example, or number of visitors or number of phone calls, whatever drives your business. And you can create forecasts for that. And based on the forecast, you can automatically create schedules for the future. So that's also an important piece of the workforce management puzzle. Mm-hmm.
What I wanted to ask you is, let's assume that some big player is trying to buy your software and to use it. And for instance, they want to use all your modules, but they want something else, something that's really for them. Mm. How do you approach that task? Mm.
When you're a smaller company, when you're just starting out, it's very difficult to say no to those types of requests.
Yes. Especially
if you're not relying on a lot of external funding. But as a larger company, when you have more experience, when you have a lot more customers, it's a lot easier to say to the customer, no, we don't have that functionality and we don't plan to build it. Instead, this is how we suggest that you work. Mm-hmm. And we suggest this because of all the experience we have implementing this software amongst other customers. And it's a lot easier to get to convince the customer that there's another way, a more appropriate way of working, which is not specific to them.
Yes.
So, for a smaller company, it's more difficult to say no.
That's a problem, yes. Mm. But with experience, mm-hmm. you're able to convey them to change their opinion.
You can change their mind. And another reason why it's simpler is because of the fact that you're not as reliant on gaining more customers because you already have quite a large customer base. So it's easier to say no to a customer and risk losing them, of course. But primarily it's about the experience and being able to convince them that, no, we know a better way of working and that's why we built the application in this way.
Yes, yeah. It's called being successful. If you're having a lot of customers and then you can say no, that you're stronger than you were before. So that's only a good thing. Mm. Is your tool used in clinics?
Yes. So we use it primarily for time reporting. Mm-hmm. We don't have the problems where you have to fill the schedule and swap shifts with each other because we are a software company. But we do use it for time reporting and payroll is generated from Quinix.
Since you mentioned you're also a software company like HTEC. Mm. So how would you compare cultures of work in Sweden and Serbia? That's maybe an interesting question.
I would say there's a lot more similarities than dissimilarities. But I guess it depends on what company you're working for. But because we're both software companies, I see a lot of things that are the same. I think the major difference, at least between our two companies, is that we also offer implementation services for our customers. We have a support department, we have a finance department, you also have that, of course. Mm-hmm. But it means that we have maybe a bunch of different areas or aspects to our business. But when it comes to the differences between Sweden and Serbia, I can't pinpoint any specific major differences, actually. It's much easier to find similarities mm-hmm. between the culture.
Thanks. Since we talked about work in both Sweden and Serbia, your motto is enjoy work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your software achieved that, I think, or not?
we hope so. I mean, that's our goal. We want to create a smiling workforce is also another motto that we have. And it's not only about the software itself. It's mm-hmm. About how the software can help empower employees to have more influence over their work-life balance. It makes it much easier for them to book and swap shifts so that they can work around their home schedule it's much easier to find a balance. So in the long term, it helps them to enjoy work more and enjoy life as well. That's what we hope. And that's the feedback that we get as well. I mean, the employees, the end users enjoy using the application. It makes life easier for them.
Yes.
But yeah, it's not only about you know, having an application that's fun in itself to use, it's about the influence that it can have on your life as a whole.
Yes, that's a noble idea. I like that. To be able to provide something like that to working people, it's great. Very nice. What I wanted to ask you next is about your position at Quinyx. You are product manager, right? Someone would say product owner. Correct?
Yeah, so I think my official title, I know my official title is Chief Product Officer. And okay. What it means is that I am responsible for the product as a whole.
Okay.
In practice, it means that I am responsible for the long-term vision for the product, the product strategy, and making sure that we build the right functionality to ensure that the product is competitive and that it fulfills the requirements of our customers and the end users.
So that's pretty responsible position, since you're, let's say, directly responsible for the development of your application, of new features and...
Yeah, of course, it is. Luckily, I have the help of very many very talented colleagues, both within the management team and in the product team and, of course, the R&D team. Everyone is very talented, very driven and engaged, so it makes my job much easier.
Can you tell us something about building a healthy work environment? That's pretty important to people, I think.
Mm. I think it was Google that not long ago did some research in this area, and they found that the number one reason behind their most successful teams being successful is the fact that they had managed to build a work environment where people were not afraid to make mistakes. And I think that is the single most important factor in ensuring that you have a stable, happy, and productive team. And so there are many different ways of ensuring that people are not afraid to make mistakes. But first of all, it's about embracing mistakes and making sure that you learn from them. Also that, you know, you don't reprimand people for making mistakes and that you encourage people to try new things and not be afraid of trying new things. I think that's the absolute most important thing to do to create a good work environment for teams.
That's a great philosophy, if you ask me, and let's hope that more companies will adopt that state of mind. It would change many things. Also, what's the manager's role from your perspective? Not just at your position, but project managers, all managers, so to speak.
Yeah, the most important thing for a manager is for them to be able to facilitate the work of their team and to ensure that they have all the tools they need to be as productive as possible, both physically and mentally, and also from a process perspective. And that's the most important thing. So a manager is almost like, if you ask me, like an assistant. Mm-hmm. They should be there asking, do you have everything you need? Is there anything I can do to make sure that you are more productive? So I think that's really what a manager is about.
So they're probably acting like a buffer between a client and developers and demands and...
Yeah, if that's what's needed. I mean, there are often situations where it's very good for employees to have direct relations with customers. But if there for any reason is a need to be a buffer, then that's what the manager should be. They should do everything that is required in order to promote productivity.
A demanding position then.
Yes.
Tell us about, startups, and then let's talk about the birth of an idea. That's that's an important bit, like you had in the past. So,
yeah,
first at something, right?
Well, it doesn't have to be about being first. You just need to have a new perspective, something that differentiates you from what is already out there. And that's the most important thing. You need to have an idea, a new idea, a new take on something, or you just simplify something that already exists. It doesn't have to be something completely unique. That's what it's all about. And then you have to believe in it, and you have to have the energy to make it into something real. And that is probably the biggest part of being a successful startup, is to have that energy and to not give up, I think.
It's something like a high risk, high reward job.
Yeah, exactly.
And how would you present your idea and vision in order to get funding? Because without funding, there can be no startup, right?
Yeah, it goes back to the same thing. You have to convince investors that your idea is different in some way, and that it will solve existing problems in a new way. And if it is something that's not completely new, if there already are competitors out there, it's a tougher job to convince investors that it's a good idea. But if you can do that, then there's a very good chance that you will succeed. If your idea truly is different, has a new take on the problems that you're trying to solve.
Mm-hmm. So there's also the matter of presentation. How would you present your idea? You should convince people, after all.
Yeah, it's a difficult question to answer, because I think it very much depends on what type of solution you have. I mean, what your idea is. But you have to, in the same way that the idea has to approach a problem from a new perspective, you also have to present it in a way that very much highlights mm-hmm. that new thing. And you have to make sure that you can present it in a way which is very simple, not only for the investors, but for the end users. So you should probably present it in a way, you should almost market it as if to an end user. You should think about, how will I present this idea to an end user to get them to start using this new thing? And that's the way you should pitch it to the investors. Of course, investors will need more information than that, but if you succeed in doing that, you will get their attention. And then you can take the necessary steps when it comes to business plan and marketing strategies, everything like that. That's the second step. So that would be my advice.
I agree completely. It makes sense. Okay, so how would you compare a startup company to a corporation?
A startup company usually is based very much around a smaller group of very, very driven people. And in that early stage of a company, you start building a culture. And I think that's the most difficult thing for a growing company, to ensure that positive culture is maintained. But that's the major difference, I would say. You have a small group of very driven people, and these people in a smaller company, they usually do a lot of different things. They don't have one specific area of responsibility. They usually have lots of responsibilities. But they're so driven that they learn all these new things that they need to do. And that's if they can do that, they will succeed. And that's the absolute biggest difference from a small company to a larger corporation. In a corporation, you have very specific responsibility areas, and those people are usually very specialized within those areas. And then it comes back to the aspect of culture. And I think it's very difficult in a larger corporation to maintain, you know, the culture that was there from the beginning, the culture that drove the company. It's a major challenge, but it's very important in order to have to ensure that your employees remain motivated and stay true to the original goal.
Yes, and where are you on that track? Are you trying to become a corporation or no?
I mean, we're trying to grow. Workforce management, cloud-based workforce management software has huge potential in the market right now. And we need to strike quickly to gain as much market share as possible within our target markets before the gap is closed and competitors, gain that market share instead of us. So we have to grow in order to do that. And so yes, we are well on the way to becoming a corporation. And that means we have to be extremely careful, and we have to, spend a lot of time and energy on ensuring that we maintain the culture that we had from the beginning. But I think personally that we have done a very good job of that. We've learned a lot of things along the way when it comes to recruitment and you know, what type of people we want to have within the company. With the mistakes that we've made, we have learned from them and we've come back on the right track. So I think we're doing a very good job staying true to our beliefs and our values as we grow.
Yes, that's important. Since you already have a good culture, it would be a shame to lose something like that.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, being a successful startup that you are, but it wasn't all smooth sailing, I guess.
No, I mean, we've had some very tough projects with some very large customers along the way, and we were very lucky to gain some very large accounts very early in the company's lifetime, which we learned a lot from. So it hasn't always been smooth sailing with those big accounts, especially because we were too small to work with such big customers. But it was also a very, very, very important learning experience for us. I would say that with those big accounts, working with those customers was the most educational time of my life. It hasn't always been smooth sailing, but we've always managed to survive, come out the other end with more experience and more confidence.
So you did what you said, you embraced mistakes and learned from them.
Yep.
And that's the only way.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Would you suggest founding a startup to someone to take off and make something new?
Absolutely. I mean, we need startups. It's a very, very important part of progress for humanity. I mean, to ensure that these new ideas are actually executed on and not just, remain in someone's mind. And it doesn't have to be revolutionizing. I mean, small ideas can make a big difference in the world. If you have an idea that you truly believe in and you think that it can make an impact, I think you should definitely take the chance if you have the possibility to do so.
I agree. There are many smart people who are just not ready for now to go out and make something new, but maybe this will change their minds. And for the end, can you give some advice to future startups?
My biggest advice would be to there's going to be situations along the way when you are in a startup where you have to make very difficult decisions, and I think it's very important that you early on, especially when you've created the startup together with other people, that you decide what are our goals, what is it that we are trying to achieve, and that you actually document these things to ensure that everyone is on the same page, because then you will have some guidelines to go by when you're making these difficult decisions, because you'll be able to say, okay, should we do this? If we do this, are we sticking to our goals? Or is this something that's going to bring us in another direction? And that should help you to make these difficult decisions and to make the right decision for the whatever it is you're building. So that's my main advice, I would say. Ensure that you know what the goal is. What are you trying to achieve? Because you need some type of guidelines to help you make those very difficult decisions.
So it's about maintaining the focus.
Yeah, definitely. To maintain the focus, it's incredibly important. You can be tempted by deals that come up. It could be a customer who's very happy, but they would like you to do this and this as well. And you have to go back and think, is this what we want to do? Is this part of our vision, yes or no? And just stick to that. Because I think that there's, in the long run, you won't regret it.
So be true to yourself.
Yeah, be true to your vision and your original goal.
I agree. Carl, thank you. It's been great talking to you. And I hope that you enjoy the art talk also.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you again. This was Carl Jär from Sweden, from a company called Quinix. My name is Igor. Follow us on social networks and our website, and stay tuned for something interesting along the line.